Do you ever feel distracted or you're getting sidetracked and therefore nothing that you need to get done gets actually done and you procrastinate on projects? Well, if that's you, this episode is exactly for you. So stay tuned for after the music and we'll dive right into it. Welcome to the Academic Revolution podcast, where we are creating a movement to change the future of academic medicine forever. I'm Inga Hoffman, a Harvard-trained pediatric hematologist, oncologist, and a passionate leadership coach with over 20 years of experience in academic medicine. This is the first podcast for academic physicians that will show you how to achieve higher productivity, become an impactful leader, and create a highly successful career doing what you love without sacrificing your personal life. You and I know that the traditional system is broken, so it's time to say no to the old publish or perish mentality and say yes to lasting change. Join me as we transform academic medicine from the inside out, one physician at a time, starting right here with the Academic Revolution podcast. Welcome back to the Academic Revolution podcast. And in this episode today, we are diving deep into the world of productivity and focus. Today, we will explore practical strategies to help you avoid distractions and stay on track and on focus so you can reach your goals. So no matter where you are in your academic career, whether you're an early trainee, mid-career, or later career faculty, this episode will help you avoid distractions. Now, avoiding distractions, while it will help with our productivity and it will require performance habits from pillar number one, this is really all about pillar number three today for my Physician Success DNA method, which is mental mastery. And you will understand why in a moment. Now, what are the distractions and why are they actually important? Chances are you have been distracted before, and that's probably what made you click on this particular episode. And distractions can be really detrimental to our personal lives as well as our academic productivity and our well-being, because oftentimes when we get distracted, we don't get things done, we procrastinate on important projects, and therefore feel guilty afterwards. And it's a horrible feeling that really gets you kind of dragged down. Oftentimes, we get distracted, or our brains get distracted, because they're just wired to look for new things, new entertainment, new excitement. And when we do a especially mundane task that is repetitive or that doesn't seem so exciting to us, like writing or reading manuscripts, etc., we then fall into this trap, or our mind falls into this trap to get distracted, to get us excited again with something else, and that leads to constant interruptions. Our mind is actually kind of seeking these distractions and interruptions, and that's oftentimes why they come in such a convenient way when we're actually supposed to do something really important. Now, there is a myriad of distractions in today's age, and they can come in all kinds of shapes and forms. But obviously, there is digital distractions, distractions on our phone, on social media, trying to multitask. So we're going to go into all of those, and we're going to talk about what the different type of distractions are. Now, before we dive into the practical aspects and look at the different type of distractions and how to overcome them, I want to spend a moment and think about what it actually is costing us when we are distracted. What's the real problem here? Well, there's an obvious problem usually with loss of productivity when we get distracted, especially in the midst of important projects such as writing or preparing for a talk or even writing your clinic notes and getting them to completion. And we get distracted, that means we lose momentum, we lose productivity, and oftentimes, important things don't get done. And one of the things I've always found, and I learned this from one of my mentors, John Maxwell, who talks about that the important needs to take precedent over the urgent. And the urgent is often distractions that are disguised as Being urgent, they often are not that urgent, but are disguised in such that they are disrupting our flow and therefore important things get pushed on the back burner. And I see this with academic physicians all the time. And we are all prone to this. I am not immune, but being aware and having some practical tools how we can overcome this is really helpful. Now, another cost of distraction is that obviously a huge chunk of time is wasted. You're doing something you were not supposed to or intending to do. Important things didn't get done, and you've just wasted a bunch of time. And obvious time wasters are social media, news, a lot of times email, or just getting involved in side chatter, or even daydreaming, or browsing on the internet for hours to look for one small item that you want to purchase. We have all been there. And the reason why I know this, of course, I have been there too. Just know that you're not unique. You're not alone to this. And a lot of people struggle with this. But I also found that highly successful people find ways to overcome these obstacles so they can be more productive and less distracted. But there's a third part that is really important when we think about a problem, the root cause or the problem with a distraction. And that is that distractions really lead to an emotional kind of drag down. Because at least for me, any time I got distracted with things and I didn't get to do the things that I set out to do for that particular day or that hour because I got distracted, I feel guilty afterwards. Now, we tend to feel like a failure. We beat ourselves up that we don't have it together and we got distracted about something stupid and now the thing that we really wanted to get done that day didn't get done. So we feel bad that we got distracted in the first place, and then we feel double bad because now the thing that we wanted to accomplish didn't get done. And that makes us feel like a failure, that we have no control over our own lives, and that it's just not going to work out. And this happens so many times, especially in academic medicine, where there is inherently a lot of distractions because sometimes our lives and our days are a bit chaotic with the multiple balls we have to keep up in the air and juggle, that we constantly feel guilty for all the balls we are dropping. But again, there is a fair number of balls we are dropping, not because we are not juggling experts or we're not hardworking. It is because we're getting distracted with something else. Now, it's probably helpful to think about what type of distractions are there. And I could talk about a lot of them in great detail. But for today, I want to just look at some broad categories and then focus on one. So when I think about distractions, I think about physical distractions and I think about mental distractions. And they are distinctively different and how we tackle them is a bit different. So what are some physical distractions? Well, there are classical interruptions, for example, such as if you're sitting in your office and you get interrupted by a knock on your door or a phone call or a pager, those are physical distractions. Something happens in your physical world that stops you in your tracks and you get interrupted. Another physical distraction could be just random tasks that are coming at you, often in form of your email inbox. Somebody is putting tasks on your lap that you feel you have to do. That's where that principle, the important needs to take precedent over these urgent interruptions, is really important. Because a lot of these interruptions or distractions of random tasks are really not emergencies. And you need to make sure you're clear on that. What is a true emergency? What needs to be taken care of right now? Or what do you feel you should be taking care of right now because other people want you to or make you feel like it needs to be done right now? When in reality, it could wait a couple of days. That's really important. Other physical distractions could be just plain noise, clutter on your desk or in your office, those type of things. And of course, we have other physical distractions that have a big mental component as well. And that is really our phone, right? Our iPhone or your smartphone with constant interruptions, either by alert signals about new messages message notifications from various social media platforms. By the way, if you have those on, please turn them off. If you want to get your sanity back, that is a baby step and simple thing you can do right now. Turn off your notifications altogether other than urgent notifications related to your children, to your spouse, or your clinical work. Anything else can really wait. And then there is distractions that are coming through, as I mentioned, through email, etc. And then there's a second set of distractions that I want to group under mental distractions. And the example with the phone, with social media apps, is somewhat a physical and a mental distraction because physically it is on your phone and you're going to grab it. But largely at its root cause, it is actually a mental distraction. Your brain is getting bored. You want to have a break from something or you want to avoid doing something. And therefore you look on social media, scroll on Twitter, on Facebook to get away from what you need to be doing right now and get trapped into something else. And that is very, very detrimental to your career and to your life and can suck hours a day out of you. Then there's obviously TV or live streaming of some sort of shows, news that are incredible mental distractions. Not only that they take mental capacity and distract you, that they usually leave a lasting effect. The news is not created to make you feel good or encourage you. It's created usually to get you worried and in fear and stressed out. That's how they make money. So number one, turn off your news. And if you feel like you need to be updated, do it in a very tangible, small dose, very, very limited time way versus getting sucked into the news cycle. But then the biggest one is probably under mental and distractions is things that are emotional triggers. There could be emotional triggers in a scenario that happens at work, maybe with your collaborator, maybe with a colleague, or even at home in your personal life, that you get triggered about a conversation or you get sucked into an emotional distraction because you got triggered by something that somebody said. You're making stuff up about a situation suddenly, and this happens all the time. I can tell you, having coached many people, having led academic programs, having trained people in leadership, and just looking out on social media, what other physician colleagues are talking about in various Facebook groups, you can see this every day. People get up in arms and distracted about some emotional trigger, a little nitpicky thing that happened in their life that seemed in the moment like a huge deal. And it was real to them in the moment. But often it gets so blown out of proportion because we are seeing things in these triggers that somebody said something to us that gets us in an emotional spiral or gets us thinking on a bad thinking track that we suddenly make up all sorts of stories in our head about a scenario, how somebody treated us, academic competition. It happens all the time. And I used to be very, very prone to this. And it cost me way too much time and much effort and actually was very detrimental. So this happens all the time. And it's really important to recognize that, first of all, what they are. Those things, those triggers, the things that you get triggered about, especially in the competitive academic environment, are absolutely distractions. And you need to recognize them for what they are so you don't fall into that trap and take the high road. Not being playing down there in the pity parties and in the distractions and into the gossip and in all these things that people come up with, but actually focused back on what's important to you, your career, your personal life, your family, your health, what you want to achieve in life, not those little things that people throw at you all the time. These are just triggers. It's like the bully at school who's trying to get a reaction from you. Think about all this academic drama is most likely that as well. People just arm wrestle with each other, metaphorically speaking. Huge distractions. And in fact, the reason why I posted this podcast episode, because I saw a bunch of posts where people got excited about some not so exciting thing. They got so triggered by a minor competitive thing or what they felt competition was the root cause of this. And they spent hours talking about it in a Facebook group and posting and dragging everybody into the drama and everybody had an opinion. But yet they probably didn't feel better afterwards. And these are things you can absolutely block out because they don't add any value to your life and they don't make anything better. There's better ways to solve these problems. The other mental distractions, sorry, I got a little bit excited here already, but it's such a huge deal. And I see people falling into this trap so many times. And I used to, cannot tell you how many hours, days, and years of my life I wasted in this state. And it is a pitiful, not happy place. I don't ever want to go back there. So other mental distractions could be worry. That kind of ties into these triggers. I could be worried about my academic promotion, that somebody's going to scoop me, that somebody's out to get me. Anxiety about my academic future, whether this experiment is going to work out, how my career will work out, how am I going to balance academic life and personal life. All these things can be huge distractions. Now, I'm not saying that there couldn't be some real problems there yet you need to address, but mulling in these emotions over and over and over again without recognizing and addressing them is not healthy or helpful. And then that's the general academic stress related to all the things I just mentioned, competition, funding, promotion, etc., that can be a huge distraction. That's sort of the categories. I really want to focus talking a little bit more about these mental distractions, like I already began to, and just mention a few more things to help you out how to think about this. Now, both physical and mental distractions, we tackle them in different ways, and I'm not going to talk much about practical things for the physical distractions, the interruptions, and the email. That is a topic for another time. We can talk about that for hours. I want to focus on the mental ones, but I want to make one point very clear that any distractions is initiating response has a mental response first. And that is a choice whether I'm going to give into this distraction or whether I'm going to react and choose to do something differently. That means I can go into the distraction and just get lost in email land or lost in my clutter on my desk or give in to the noise or whatever it might be, can give into the social media or the emotional triggers. That is one choice. That is obviously not the one we want to have. That's not a meaningful, helpful response. Or we can choose to do something differently. In a lot of ways, how we respond to things is based on habits and triggers we are having. So we're having habits, how we respond to things, because most of how we live our life is habit-based, and that is not only true for physical habits like brushing your teeth, but also mental habits, how you respond to a situation. You likely have been trained and accustomed to respond in a certain way. So just like with physical distractions, will require a habit formation with a different choice than what you're doing now. Mental habits will require a choice for forming a new habit, how to respond to situations as well. So in the biggest part of that is being myself now aware that when a distraction, especially mental distraction, happens, number one, that you realize this is a mental distraction that is trying to drag me away from what I set out to do to something else, to basically avoid what I was trying to do right now. And when that happens, number one, the light bulb should go off and you should realize this is a distraction. And that's already a huge win. Once you know that, then you have a moment to actually think about this and respond and make a choice to either give into this distraction based on your old thought patterns and habits, or to choose to do something differently. So for example, very practical example, when I'm sitting here and I'm supposed to write something, let's say a manuscript, and I'm getting kind of stuck and my mind is starting to wander and I start to daydream and I have my phone next to me, before you know it, I will naturally pick it up and I might land on a social media site or on my email or my messages, because that's an automated response we sadly all have to some degree. And before you know it, you spend 10, 15 minutes or even longer on a social media platform scrolling garbage. You in that moment have a choice. When your hand touches the phone, you can say, that is a distraction. That is a mental habit. I used to fall into this trap. I'm choosing not to do this, and you put your phone down and away from yourself. That is a very simple example. You can do the same with your thoughts, the same with triggers you have with other people or situations. Say, okay, there's a situation. It might need some thoughtful response or some difficult response for me. But for now, I realize that this is a distraction. I'm going to center myself. I'm going to refocus my attention to what I was actually doing, and I'm going to spend some time to think about this later. This also avoids reactionary responses that are often driven by emotion and not necessarily healthy. So really important. So in summary, be aware when distractions happen, whether physical or mentally. Be intentional about your response. Avoid reacting, but rather choosing to act in an appropriate way, likely different from what you have been doing so far, and then refocus your attention to what you were actually planning to do at that specific time. Thinking about these emotional triggers, there's also a great episode on triggers that I will put in the show notes. That's called Triggers Are a Mirror of You or a Reflection of You. I don't remember the number, but I encourage you to go back to that episode because you will find it very, very helpful. And lastly, just remind you, be extra vigilant, especially with these emotional triggers, that to not get sucked in to drama, a sad conversation, or even just in an emotional spiral, but just take time, pause, and decide to reflect on it later. Sometimes that time lapse is really helpful to think about it more rational versus from an emotional point with a more intellectual perspective and have a different perspective, and actually likely will save you time in the long run, because not only didn't you get distracted and sidetracked, you might have also avoided to get yourself in a more complicated situation than you initially wanted to be in, because sometimes when we react, we make things worse than they already have been, and therefore we create more work and a time sink for ourselves. So stay focused on your task, stay focused on your goals, and stay focused on your vision that you have for your life, because you're here for a purpose, you're here for a specific calling in medicine and science and your personal life. Lean on that and do not get distracted by physical or mental distraction. Talk to you next time and have a great day. Hey there, friends. Some of you might have been wondering how you can take the next step in your academic journey and get a professional coach. Many of you have wondered how you can specifically work with me, as I have been with you in the trenches and in academic medicine for over 2 decades. And the answer is yes, you can totally work with me. Many people wonder, is coaching actually right for me? And what is the difference between coaching and mentorship? After all, I already have a mentor, you might think. But coaching and mentorship are very different from each other. Both coaching and mentorship have unique roles in your academic career and for your personal and professional success. Typically, a mentor shares wisdom from their journey. They bring you guidance based on their perspective and their life experience, which is wonderful. But coaching is distinctively different and takes things to the next level, as a coach helps you to set and achieve your own goals based on your experience, your personal life goals, and your unique values. That's where coaching is markedly different from mentorship. Both have their unique roles and both have its place. I don't want to negate from mentorship. Find a great mentor. But if you really want to accelerate your career, you need a coach. Every good business person has it, every sports person has it, and even now academic leaders get their own personal coaches to save them time, accelerate their career and their personal life and success. So if you're curious if coaching is for you, just drop me a note. Or you can just simply go to my website at ingahoffmann.com, that is ingahoffmann.com/coaching, and you will be led to my website, can fill out an application, and we get on a discovery call together where you can test out coaching, learn what it is and isn't, and where you can experience coaching firsthand without ever having to pay a dime. And then you can decide, is this actually right for me? And Are you and I a good fit for each other? So go ahead, go to the website, fill out that application, and I'll talk to you soon. And I will post that in the show notes as well, so you can access it later in case you're driving. Have a wonderful day. Talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Academic Revolution podcast today. If you've gotten value from today's episode, I would love for you to share it with your friends and colleagues and help create a movement that changes the future of academic medicine forever. Also, don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, and visit ingahoffman.com for more information on how to work with me. Links are in the show notes. Until then, be well and see you on the next episode of the Academic Revolution podcast.